Stairs, he and Sister Wanda having to climb the stairs, that I can remember in 2008 when Allison and I began to or continued to feel like the Lord was burdening us to move to this community. And we made the move out of our house in Lawrenceville that you know, Mom and Daddy were the main helpers that we had. And our house in Lawrenceville was three levels. It wasn't three stories necessarily, it's three levels. You park in the garage underneath the main story, and you went up a set of stairs that was just about as straight up and down and vertical as a step ladder to get up to the kitchen. And you could eat without having to climb another step, but in order to go to bed, all the bedrooms were up the next level. And whenever we finally, that last trip that we loaded that trailer with to come to the house that we lived in on Nally Road, we was our king bed. And when we got that thing down to the ground level down there, Daddy turned and looked at me. He said, "Son," he said, "I love you." He said, "But if y'all buy a house or buy another house that's got a set of stairs in them like that," he said, "I don't know if y'all gonna get me to come see y'all or not." You know, he was worn out from it. In my mind, as Brother John was preaching, is drawn to the book of 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter. And so if you want to read along with me, I want to read these verses of Scripture here and speak upon much along the same subject that Brother John has already spoken about. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, says in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Many of the things that the Apostle Paul wrote, or I'd venture to say that all that the Apostle Paul wrote in this recorded in the Word of God, was written and recorded much like a lot of the messages that any gospel preacher will preach unto the Lord's people. It's written with the desire, and anything that's spoken is spoken with the desire to not only glorify God in heaven, but to also edify the body of Christ so that they would be informed of the things of God, that they would not be ignorant about what God's truth is, about what God's desire is for them. I've thought a lot about these verses this week, and anytime that anybody that you know passes away that I don't think understands the truth and has the comfort of God's finished work, I feel and have pain for those that are their loved ones, and for those that are mourning, because I know that in my heart that they don't have what God has given me, and that being the truth, and that being the comforting knowledge that the Lord is in charge, that the Lord is over all, and that His finished grace is sufficient enough to bring that person that has passed away home to be with Him immediately upon the time that they take their last breath here in this world. He says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, and that you sorrow not as those that have no hope." You know, the Lord desires for us as His children to be comforted by what He has done for us. And whenever we know that there's someone that's passed away, and we know that those that are mourning the loss of a loved one, boy, I'll tell you what, if there's ever been a time that I would love to tell them about what Jesus has done for them, so that they would receive comfort and peace in their souls to know that their loved one, if he belongs to God by grace, that he's home to be with them, and that they would sorrow not as those which have no hope in anything further than this life. The Apostle Paul says that if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and teaching us some of the consequences of there being no resurrection. If we only have hope here, in those seasons that Brother John was talking about in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And it's not that we cast away everything that goes on here as being for naught. That's certainly not the lesson. But if it's in this life only, if it's only in these change of seasons. And I love to see the change of the seasons. One of the things that I have said more often than not, and I pray that if the Lord be in the matter, if He ever called me to do it, that I certainly wouldn't say I don't want to live there. But, one of the places that I'm not real fondly thinking about living is in Florida, because it's like it never changes down there. It's warm all the time. And even their coolest down there, all you have to do is put on a pair of pants. You can still wear a short sleeve shirt. You know, there's no real true change in the season. I enjoy living in a part of the country where there's an actual change in the season, so that you can see the manifestation of the promises of God fulfilled that He gave unto the people back in Genesis chapter 8, where He told them that there would be a change in the season, and we see those things that come. But as we live and endure the promises of God and the changes of the season here in this world, make no mistake about it, that discipleship is about a forward-looking task. It's about looking forward to better things beyond the here and now, and that the expectation of there being greater things further on would drive us through this sin-cursed world. We've got to have something to look for beyond here and now. Because even in the greatest of seasons, even in times of rejoicing, of seeing great blessings, there's also times of trials and sorrow. And if we haven't got our eyes already set upon something greater than the here and now, those will bring us to a collapse, and they will collapse you. You know, a lot of people will say, and they make the comment, that the Lord won't put anything more on you than you can bear. You know, the Bible doesn't say that, and I'm not saying I disagree with the statement. I don't think that God will. But I believe this world can, and this world will if you'll give it the opportunity. But if you will be mindful of the things of God and the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and not be ignorant, I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, and that you sorrow not as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You want to know how in the world that God can bring somebody with him when he comes back out of those clouds, whenever their bodies are laying out in the grave? It's because immediately when they took their last breath here, they went home to be with him, and he's bringing them back with him whenever he comes out of the clouds here to take every blood-bought child of God home with him. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. He says, I want you to not be unlearned. You know, I had a loved one time that just got all tore up, that their pastor used the term ignorant in the pulpit and said, you know, I just cannot believe that they would consider and use the terminology that they didn't want, that somebody was ignorant. You know, there's a lot of ignorant people in this world today whom Jesus Christ died for, who he shed his blood for on the cross at Calvary, whose hearts he dwells in, who belongs to him, every bit and every ounce, as anybody that's gathered in this building belong to him. But because of ignorance, because of unlearnedness, because of being mistaught and being led astray, they don't have the comfort and peace that whenever they lose a loved one, that there's something greater for their own. You know, it doesn't end at the grave to a child that's got hope. You know, a hope, old blissful hope, as we sang about this morning, which Jesus' grace has given. You know, it's a there's a stronger definition of that word than what a lot of people would like for it to carry. You know, someone told me one time that didn't believe our theology, that hope was just not enough for him. Was just not enough for him. You know, he had to have some perfect knowledge. You know, hope is not without any knowledge. That's not what hope is. Hope is about with an innate knowledge and trust and an earnest expectation of greater things for their own. And I tell you, if hope was enough for the Apostle Paul, if hope was his desire for the people then, hope will be enough for us today. You know, there's a theology, and there's a new book that came out, and I couldn't think of the name of it when I was trying to preach to you a couple of weeks ago, the Left Behind series. And you say, Brother Will, are you giving, you don't need to give advertising to the book, you know, or to the movie or anything else that comes out. I doubt there's that many people listening outside of the ones that are here, maybe just a few. And I don't mind calling something what it is. I want you to know what I'm talking about whenever I'm telling it about something. You know, a preacher told me one time, Brother John, that he cannot change whether or not you leave the house of God that day and agree with everything that he says. He says, but I want you to know whenever you leave the house of God that I believe and agree with everything that I've said. And I want you to know that whenever I mention that movie that's coming out, you know, because a lot of well-meaning people are fed up with the filth of Hollywood. So whenever they see something come out that's got a Bible theme about it, they automatically think it's okay for me just to shovel my kids in there, to drop them off, let them go in and see it, let them go in and watch this movie. It's got a Bible theme. You know, what could be wrong with letting your kids go see something that's Bible themed? They won't find the theology of something that teaches that the Lord's people are going to somehow start to vanish away in this world. And that people are going to wonder whether or not it's Jesus Christ himself is calling them out of this world. That's not what this book teaches about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the strongest verses to prove that those things are not true is in the verses that I've just read to you. He says in verse 15, he says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The prevent, as it's used in that verse, means precede. It means to go before. And what is the theology that exists that all the righteous and that all those that are living right, that the Lord is just going to rapture them up and take them home, and the rest of everybody else is going to be standing around wondering what happened? Is the scripture here says that they which are alive and remain shall not go before those which are asleep.
That means that everyone that has died and that has passed and that you know belongs to God by grace and that you've mourned over and that you've shed a tear at the grave of, they're going to rise with you that day. They're going home to be with the Lord with you that day. You know, I understand the thought and the teaching that whenever we get to heaven, that our focus is on Jesus. You make no mistake about it. Our focus is on Jesus. And I believe that Scripture would plainly teach us that our relationships are not going to exist up there. Whenever I say relationships, our earthly relationships are not going to carry on up there. But I still find comfort that I'll see my loved ones again. I'm looking forward to seeing the face of my Lord. I'm looking forward to those days. And I know I'm young by a lot of people's definition of what is young and what is old, but it doesn't mean that at times in this world that you can't get so drugged down that you're just not. I wish He'd come right now. I wish He'd come. And you want to talk about, you know, if you want to use the terminology rapture, I don't necessarily want to because of the way it's perverted, but just take us up home to be with Him, everyone who He died for on the cross at Calvary. And I tell you, they which are alive and remain shall not go before those which are asleep. They which are asleep will rise, and the Lord will come out of those clouds. And the Scripture says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. You understand how serious that terminology is when the Apostle Paul says these things, and there's bukus of the Lord's people today that are ignorant concerning these things. There's a lot about heaven I can't tell you about. There's a lot about it I can't tell you about. There's a lot that you think will be there. A lot, some of those same things I hope aren't there. There's a lot that I probably am desiring to be there that you're probably saying I hope it's not there. But it doesn't matter because we'll all be satisfied over there. Every one of us will be satisfied. Not one thing that you long for, that you want to, that you would desire, will not be there whenever you get there. Every bit of it will be there, and more. And even the half has not been told to us. There's no way that a man can preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to the point that we can tell you everything that's going to exist in heaven. But I tell you, there's one thing that you and I, that the Lord's desire is that we would understand here, and that is that how it happens. And how it happens is that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the trump and with the voice of the archangel. And whenever you hear that trump, whenever that trump sounds, whenever you have the voice of the archangel, whenever you have the shout from the Lord, you don't have something that you wonder, is that Jesus? I tell you what, there won't be one that says, is that Jesus? Everyone from the one that He died for on the cross at Calvary to the goats and the wicked that will be on the left that day will understand that that indeed is the Son of God Himself. And I tell you, they'll bow in reverence that day. They'll bow in reverence to the Son of God, and as the Scripture would teach us back in Matthew chapter 25, they'll be cast to a place that's due to every single one of us. They'll be sent to a place to pay for the sins that they've committed. And I tell you, you know, whenever we imagine these things, there's a reason why that these things need to be preached and that we need to be reminded of, so that you and I would understand and appreciate where we've been delivered from. And where God has kept us from going, not because of anything that we have done, but only because of His covenant that was made with His Son before the foundation of the world, and that He loves you. Not for you, but in spite of you, that He loves you, that He saves you from such a place. I tell you, you know, them which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, the Scripture teaches us that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. And I believe that. I believe that there's several different ways that you can teach that in a timely sense. Whenever the Lord regenerates you and gives you the new birth and He comes into your heart, that's not something that comes and goes. Where He's in your heart one day, and He wakes up the next morning and says, well, I don't think I want to dwell there today. He's there all the time. He's made His permanent abode in your heart. You're permanently changed by the presence of Jesus Christ in your heart. But I think any of us could say today that even in the midst of knowing that He's in our heart and that He dwells in our hearts, there's times when we don't feel Him like we would want to. There's times where we, because of things that we have done, things that we have and actions that we have committed, that we don't feel His presence like we would want to.
But you know, that's what makes heaven all that much sweeter. So shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, not only with the Lord, but together. You know, one of those, I forget which heaven song it is that we sing in the hymn book that mentions that there'll be no goodbyes. You know, no sorrows over there. And, you know, there's a lot of goodbyes that's probably going to take place in this parking lot. You know, you'll tell your daughter and son-in-law and granddaughter goodbye. We'll tell our grandparents goodbye. And, you know, it might be another week or two, might be a month. You never know before you're able to see your loved one again. There's a lot of goodbyes and separations of loved ones here. But the Scripture says that whenever that grand and glorious day comes, whenever we go home to be with the Lord, we'll be with the Lord forever and there, and He'll call us up together. We'll be together. There won't be any more goodbyes over there. I tell you, you know, that's something, that's shouting ground, is it not? Wherefore comfort one another with these words. How many people today are fearful of the second coming of the Lord because they don't understand it? That's what that movie that I just mentioned, it's geared all towards fear. Fear is motivation to drive someone. You know, I tell you, whenever we're talking about the second coming of the Lord, and I'm not telling you not to fear the Lord. If there's somebody we need to fear, it needs to be God. You better believe it. That's something that we need to be constantly reminded of. When it comes to His second coming, it's supposed to bring peace and comfort to us, because those things that would cause us to have to see that side of His nature here in this world, to see His chastening and to see the rebuke of the Lord here in this world will be no more from that day. We'll forever be with Him, be perfected in a glorified state to spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, you know, I love the change of the seasons. But if I in my ministry don't continuously every once in a while point us to the permanent change of the next season, aren't you glad that we don't have to teach a change in the season, to teach that we've still got to endure a 1,000-year reign of a kingdom here in this world? You know, boy, I tell you what, that'd be a lot of hope to preach to people. You know, let's look for Him, but hey, he's not even gonna land anywhere around here. You know, it's gonna be over on the other side of the sea over there, where He's gonna set up that kingdom over there for that 1,000-year reign. You know, our gospel, and the Apostle Paul referred to it as his gospel, so we can call it our gospel, something that God gave us. Our gospel is much more comforting than that. His feet will not touch this sin-cursed world again. He'll call us up together to be with Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And I pray that these things are a comfort to you, and that you do rejoice in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you do rejoice in the hope that you have in your heart of going home to be with the Lord. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
The Lord has been so good to me. I want